Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Testing. It's Friday, the 11th of July, 2025, and it's episode 98. Thank you for those joining us live and also to those who are joining us as part of a podcast. It's great to be here, and it's also great to be co-hosting with Natalia. How are you doing?
Afternoon, Simon. It's afternoon here. And hello, everyone. Either it's afternoon as well, or morning for you, or maybe evening. So we have people all around the world. I'm good. I'm good. I'm really excited to be here again the second time. But, you know, why not spending an hour with you and people chatting about testing?
Totally. And yeah, grateful that we get to co-host again. I think it is a busy time of year for folks. So we do have a number of co-hosts available. I know for some of our listeners, apologies if we're hogging the mic, trying our best to spread the effort across the Motiverse. But it's wonderful to co-host with you today, Natalia. And I think we were chatting in the green room just before we went live today. We're going to refer to this as a This Week in Testing classic. So classic is where we don't tend to have a theme and we just open it up to the floor and invite people up on stage and find out what they've been up to. Whereas the alternative is This Week in Testing, where there's a theme. So last week, for those who missed that episode, it was all about Test Bash. So if you didn't get to listen to it, I do recommend it. It's a real good one. There was lots of good advice shared about how to make the most out of Test Bash. And you could apply that to any conference, really, but specifically for Test Bash. It's a very cool episode. And we started a club post off the back of it, where if you have been to Test Bash before, share your tips, because this will help people who are new to it, who are new to that experience. It could feel overwhelming, and we shared lots of advice in that episode, so do go check it out. But that was last week, and today is today. So let's get stuck in. For those who are listening to this live, it is an official Ministry of Testing event, so the code of conduct is in place, and you can find that on ministryoftesting.com. And if you are new to This Week in Testing, thanks for joining us. It's lovely for you to be here and very grateful to all folks who I can see in the chat who are returning. Lovely to see a number of brilliant people who are saying hello in the chat. Hello, folks. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're unfamiliar with This Week in Testing, this is just a way for us to gather as a community at the end of the week to have a good old chit chat about stuff that you've, let's find out what you've been up to, some of the things you've been reading, perhaps you've been watching some interesting talks. Maybe you've been trying out some new things in your workplace and you'd like to share how you've been getting on. Or maybe you have a question. You have a question for the community, good opportunity to get up on stage and ask the question. And we can invite folks up on stage to help out and see what is possible. And also, it's just a great way to connect. So if you haven't done so already and you are joining us live, please do share your Ministry of Testing profile. You can find that on ministryoftesting.com. Select your little profile icon under my MOT and just drop a link in the chat and we can start following each other because we have some nice features coming soon. So if you follow someone and they follow you, we can do lots of very exciting things with that in the Motiverse. Don't want to give too much away. Still work in progress, but keep your eyes and ears out for those changes coming fairly soon. It's very exciting. We're too excited behind the scenes, myself, and I see Rosie in the chat as well. We're pumped about what's possible with the following feature. So yeah, it's very cool. Okay, Natalia, sorry. I feel like I should pass the mic to yourself. Yeah, is there anything in particular that jumped out in your week in testing?
So let me see. The week in testing was pretty much like vibe coding. AI is all around the world. I think we all get it like more hands-on. So we come into day-to-day work and it's different than it's just like somewhere over there developed by someone and kind of a little bit mystical cloud. So I was vibe coding. I wanted to try out a tool to create test data, leveraging some existing like API or like how can I quickly put something together. It was interesting. I learned a lot. It is very quick. I used Cursor AI and it's extremely quick and it will just like reshuffle all your code and do everything like that. And you're like, hold on a second. Let me just have a look what is here. Long story short, I think it's a great way to kick off things that you're not familiar with. You want to put something together. But on the other side, there are like two things that I noticed with myself. So the knowledge that like the agent will throw or code will throw there doesn't really retain as quickly as you write yourself. And that I noticed like I was quite debugging some things. And although I have a look and ask, what's this? And can we like, why does it need this way? Can we do this way? So I noticed it's not the same as you write yourself, like literally like you type in, right? Even not using an autocomplete. So I would suggest to people who are doing this or you're a junior, be mindful about this side of things of retaining knowledge, right? So you can have as a system, but you have to, I think, somehow spend some time that I noticed. So I said, okay. And the other thing is, it's just extremely quick and you still need to know the basic or like architecture, because it will throw a lot of things like duplication and that you don't even need. And you still need to have your basic apply and reflexer. But brilliant. I could put some things together, work with it. So it worked what I wanted. It treated me like a test user with one command. I'm thinking that how I can use in other projects, right? So it's something helps. So that was my deep dive with coding, white coding. So yeah, mostly like as well, some admin performance reviews now coming along in the company. So quite a big chunk of time people would spend to reflect and see what the achievement been for first half a year. Some people like it, some people hate it. It's Marmite. Marmite, for people who are not familiar with it, spread in the UK. It's like brownish. Some people really love it, some people really hate it. There are two camps. So I find performance to be also a little bit of Marmite style. But it's, But it's a great way to reflect what you achieved and as well practice how to show to your manager or to your team the value. Sometimes it's hard, right? So that's, I understand people who will be having lower, like longer way of putting things together. Yeah. Yeah. That was your week in testing, Simon. If you did any, I'm sure you did.
Indeed. Thank you for sharing. That sounds very cool. And maybe we could get some folks up to share their experiences with vibe coding. So I thought that was very cool to hear about your experience with it. Very cool. And also like performance reviews, I guess my head always goes to what's possible with showcasing your work. And that could be in the form of a Ministry of Testing profile, for example, where you're actively showing what you've been up to and the things you've been doing outside of the workplace to connect with other professionals and to learn from them and to give back. I think that's a great way of showcasing your achievements. I guess if people are blogging about stuff, they can add their blog to their profile as well via a feature we have called the Observatory. So you can add an external link and then link it to your profile and it appears on your profile page. But yes, I think the challenge of, yeah, demonstrating value and how you document your achievements, whether it's a day-to-day thing or a weekly thing, is difficult. I know Rahul Parwell has got some good stuff on Ministry of Testing .com about like how to showcase yourself and how to big up yourself. So do go check out Rahul's profile for some inspiration. My week in testing has been exciting. We have still beta testing the Community Stars feature. So this is where professional members can award stars for all the awesome things that people do in the community. And it's been lovely to see a few more people get involved in that. Yeah, we're tracking the stats behind the scenes and seeing how folks are using what stars they are awarding, which is great. It's so nice to see that. I saw a comment from Lisa Crispin earlier on today saying, I just tried out the feature to award community stars. It is a nice feeling. Yeah, we're trying to emphasize that you can feel really good about awarding people stars at Ministry Testing. We've been doing it for a while as a team. And we're like, others need to get involved in this. It feels really nice. It's really good for your well-being to dish out stars. And I guess you could take those stars into a performance review and say, look, these people in the community outside of our workplace appreciate what I'm up to and how I'm helping them and how I'm helping these people over here. So there's something really special about Community Stars. I think there's much more we can do with it. We can make it much more transparent. I think once people start following people as well, it'll be easier to dish out stars, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of that going on behind the scenes as well. Plus also, we are very excited that we will soon be able to comment on memories. So memories is a form of microblogging that people can do on ministrytesting.com. You could share a photo, a graphic, or an image, diagram, a mind map, whatever, or a video. And then you can add some commentary to it. But at the moment, people can just like those memories. They can't leave a comment or share their thoughts or start a discussion. But that's coming very soon. I reckon that'll be out by next week if all our tests go well. But yes, so it's been a good week for exploring new features and also thinking about what kind of like a feed view would look like for people who want to follow different people. It's exciting. I could talk about it the whole episode, but I'm conscious we should get some people up on stage. What do you think, Natalia?
Yeah, absolutely. I can see the chat is actually very active and thriving. We might have sparked a nice discussion about the performance review or different side of things. But if anyone would like to chat about anything else, positives or things, how we can support you, either you coming through different organizations or roles or implementing stuff. So yeah, we're here for you to support, to give you that knowledge, that help, that boost that you will take. Do brilliant work.
100%. And I see that now we have Eamon has put their hand up. So let's bring up Eamon and find out how Eamon's week in testing has been. So here we go. The technology looks like it's working.
Hello.
Eamon, hey, worked first time. There you go. Cool. Although interestingly, Natalia and I spotted this in the green room before we went live, that some people's profile pictures appear for a split second and then disappear. Natalia and I were like, I wonder why that is. So you can upload a profile, the profile picture is accepted, but maybe there's a certain resolution. So we're going to go test that assumption at some point and see whether there's like a display issue. So you can create an update, but the display issue, the read, is not working so good. But there we go. Eamon, how has your week in testing been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. It's been a week of conversations carrying on with the theme I've been on for the past few weeks, just speaking to people, such as yourself, Simon. We had a great chat earlier this week. That was really nice to catch up. And buying discussions on the club as well. About two or three I've started over the last week or two. One of them in particular that I want to talk about is what we discussed, Simon, the idea of community conduit. I started a discussion on the club about that. And I think it's a really cool topic that I wanted to bring here as well. And I'd be keen to hear other people's experiences with that. So the idea is that when you're embedded in a community, you can bring all those community learnings, all those discussions and so on to your workplace with you. So I think it was Gary Hawk that mentioned that you basically become a consultant in a way where it's not just you are so many other people when you join a role, because you have access to community members, discussions, talks, and all these ideas that you have are backed by such a big community. So that kind of helps you bring new ideas to your workplace because you have all this backing, people that can vouch for you, and you're never really alone. So I'm quite keen to hear people's experiences of being a conduit in their role.
Yes, likewise. Thank you for sparking that, Eamon. And if there are some folks who would like to jump up on stage and dive into this topic, Natalia, should we get Ollie up? I can press the button to bring Ollie into that conversation and see if Ollie would like to get stuck in with the community conduit concept that Eamon and I were discussing earlier this week. It's an exciting one. Yeah, Eamon, to your point, I think, and I put this on the club post inspired by Gary, like, why hire a consulting firm to help you and your team when you can hire a tech community? It's there, available to go, ready to help you. Ollie, welcome. Thanks for joining the conversation. Feel free to jump straight in.
Hey, I'm sorry. I did actually miss a bit of the conversation. I was getting crowd pass feedback and also doing it at the same time. But I did hear something. Conduit?
Yes, that's right. So Eamon was introducing the concept that as someone who is part of a community, when you join a company or you are part of that company, you become a conduit to a whole load of expertise. So it's not just coming from yourself. You are a conduit to a whole ton of people who can bring with them knowledge and experience. You can just tap into that knowledge as often as you like because you are a conduit. So it's like the company is hiring more than one person. They're hiring you plus a whole load more people to help you out. And Eamon was curious to hear some examples of that and perhaps, yeah, explore this topic a little bit more.
Yeah, interesting. Because I guess the first thing that came to mind is sharing articles by other people, which you do at my work, not all the time, but we do get people patching up what other people are saying. But yeah, that's a really interesting idea. Trying to get my head around it. Look, have you got any examples, Eamon? Or have you done it? Or have you seen it?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I've become that more since I've been out of work. So whatever job I go into next, that's my action plan, is that I'm going to have the backing of the community. So let's say I wanted to introduce a tool to, like, I don't know, like a new testing tool, for example. If I posted like a club discussion and I got 10, 20 responses, I could come back to my company and say, look, these are other people's experiences with this. These are the pros and the cons. And that's much better than just, let's say, asking AI. But you've got actual humans giving their experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that'd be really effective. And yeah, it shows that there is a QA community and industry, because it's one of those things where it's easy for people, even within the QA role, and not even know that there's a community and good practice that's seen across however many people. Yeah, I think that's a good shout. I bet it's just one of those things that's going to make it easier to sell something, right? Because you've got evidence. And it helped, yeah, that would help to push, like, warm business as well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
I'm there, sorry, no, you go.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, in my previous role, like, I did try to bring a new tool in, but I was just relying on, I guess, information that I could find myself. But I think the power, let's say you want to buy something or you want to, I don't know, watch a film, like, you'll go check out reviews and you'll read reviews, or even like a book, you'll read reviews from actual people. And I think that can carry a lot more weight for people. And I think it's a similar concept here, where if you've got real people from a real community giving their opinions and their experiences, that can really help you to bring new ideas to your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would help, especially in smaller teams of QA. So when I was the sole QA in a company, the first one, I mean, it's actually how I discovered administrative testing. But I think, yeah, having that back you up, you've got team especially, would definitely help. I was going to say, I've done a couple of, or at least one, where I've taken a post from, it was one of Rachel's posts about test management, and put that to the wider QA team I'm in, and it sparked a really good conversation. I think it helped to shape the team approach to it. So even if it's just to help spark conversation, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. I use a lot of lately. I try to build a habit of checking out the clubs. Like I used to check out Facebook. So maybe one moment I will be checking out once I wake up. Yeah, I use quite a lot of the club conversations and not only help myself out with current work, but as well as expanding, like understanding like knowledge and things. Oh, I can maybe do this. Oh, that's interesting. Like with the AI, again, I'm coming back to that. So I was thinking how to get better. And I just like search on Club AI. I've got so many records and 30 days in testing that you can do little challenges, right? So it's a lot of useful information, how we can use either help us to back our conversations or expanding and growing, or even like showing people articles and yeah. Quite a lot.
And even if it's not something that you can take action on right away, or even within the company you're in at the moment, things might be on that whole, but it might stick with you, and it might be that you can apply it or part of whatever you learned in the future. There's lots of things earlier actually about conferences and how a member talk where what they were saying was not at all where I was at point. But now it sparked remembered it and sparked I thought like maybe I have to be bringing that in here, which is a bit more, but yeah, it might be. I don't necessarily thought something right away, but it could help something in the future.
Sorry to cut in there, Natalia. Please go for it.
No, go ahead. It was just there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you make a really good point there, Ollie. And this is something that Eamon and I covered in our chat earlier this week, was where I think when people do immerse themselves in a community where a lot of knowledge is shared and exchanged in various different forms, in various different mediums, whether it's on an event like today, whether it's in articles, whether it's in forum posts, like you bank a lot of stuff in your back pocket and you never know when you're going to pull it out and go, ah, yeah, I remember that article. I read it 6 months ago. It wasn't relevant to me now, but actually there's probably something in that now that could help me or help others. And it's those moments where people who do immerse themselves are able to just call on that stuff. They spot patterns. They're joining the dots without realizing they're joining the dots. And it's just these moments where it comes back. So I think about hiring managers who are aware of like this community conduit concept, where they're in such a good position when they do hire someone, for example, who has been embedded in a community, because that person will just be able to call on stuff without them realizing. They'd just be like, oh, let's go refer from that thing a year ago. I had that conversation with so-and-so, I'm going to have it again. It's really powerful stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And something that I've been seeing in the last year or so, I'm like, I need to get up quite a lot, but you used to listen to the A/B testing podcast, and all about modern testing, and I'm married into Jeff Left, and there wasn't something at all at the time, but when it has come to have the opportunity to start trying it out myself within a small team, and now doing it as a wider strategy, not because of what I've done, but the same, but it meant that I could almost hit the ground running without having actually done it before, or at least in a much better position of having this type of thing of learning from other people's mistakes. Other people make mistakes when they're first doing it, so you can do something quicker. But yeah, it's that thing, it was just stored in my memory and I just call on it when I actually enter it.
Yeah, I just want to speak on something. I just thought Emily's comment about, I just want to clarify, because yeah, this is what I'm talking about is definitely applicable if you're in a multi-tested team, but it's also very applicable if you're the sole tester as well, I would say, because I think to speak on my own personal experience as well, like in my last role, I was the first and only tester in that organization. And because of that and not being part of the community at the time, I thought I was quite alone and I had no one to bounce ideas off and so on. But if I had the mindset that I have now, where I know that I can lean on the community, I wouldn't feel as alone, and I could still bring the findings that I get from the community into that space. Even if the other members of my team aren't testers or they're not aware of testing, I can still say that, look, I'm part of this big testing community. These are the things I've looked into, these are the conversations I've had, but, and this is what I want to bring to you. So I think it definitely applies if you're a sole tester or a tester with other testers in your team.
Do you think there's any kind of challenge in terms of proving the worth of community to like higher up, like Marissa? So I was just thinking of talking of performance reviews, like how would you go about getting enough, but like saying, all right, I'm involved in the community, whether you be writing articles or being on, if we can test the example. How do you think, two-part question, do you think that there's potential problems where, or wherever, and how do you get that across in the way possible to change that what you're doing is providing value?
I think there'll always be a challenge because some companies, when it comes to performance reviews, they only value things that kind of directly affect the company and are within the company. And I think it's the same with like interviews, because I've had interviews this year where I've talked about all the great things I've done with the MOT. And they say, yeah, that's great, that's cool, but I can tell they don't really value it that much. So I think it's always okay to bring it up and say it, but some people sadly just never really care. But I think it's good for your own personal growth no matter what, because you might not be at the company forever, but the work you do, the community will last forever. So yeah, I think it's still worth bringing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a wonderful topic to deep dive into, Ollie. I do wonder, doing a quick time check, and I'm also aware that you joined the stage perhaps for another reason as well, Ollie, as has also been pointed out in the chat by Emily. Thank you, Emily. Natalia, you are off mute as well. Did you want to jump in at this point?
I was thinking to adapt to communities. I think it's very similar, like how we tailor the language and our message to different people, right? So it's a real art. The same as like with the tooling or any other things, right? Some people are prone to listen to one message, some people aren't. So I guess it's just like practicing and trying to understand what would be the value to people you bring in from community, right? For some people, it's your engagement. They value a lot. Some people, or practical stuff you can bring back, like little things that they would see, because sometimes it's for people, it's hard to see. I realized in my career that a lot of people don't really know what testing quality is if they work even within tech, but like PM sometimes, like it's new. So I guess it's just having different kind of messaging and profiles to people and then showing them little by little. But yeah, I'm also aware Ollie has joined the chat and we haven't heard yet how was his week in testing or anything else. So yeah, let's hear from him. And then I think someone is waiting patiently in Milan, so we can bring them afterwards.
Cool. Yes, I realize I'm already chatting. Yeah, my week in testing, I think the main thing, it's been decent. Yeah, I think the main thing after that is planning my first bug hunt this week, which went well. Yeah, I'm really interesting. Got a new feature, what did I work on, and got the team, which consists of front end, back end, dev, designer, engineering manager, product manager, team. And chuck them at this feature, which I'm going on. There's quite a lot of work to get it set up with test data and scenarios, but I was also trying to encourage exploratory testing. Yeah, we've got lots of really interesting, which is a strange one. That's good. That's a testing to do my job. Quite a chunk of stuff that either I missed or I didn't see as a priority and rate budget. So yeah, that was important. That I didn't expect to deal with in the aftermath. But it was really good. I recommend it to anyone that's thinking or has needs on hearing them. And I can't remember what was. I think actually the only point I had about was the performance reviews on how to get community related stuff onto them. Anyone's done that before and I mean like that they enrolled in your wider testing community, what they're doing outside of work, that how they can get.
That sounds great, Ollie. And yeah, congrats for going for it with just going for the bug hunt and getting others involved. It's exciting. It's exciting. And I can completely relate to that feeling of, wow, they're seeing stuff that I didn't see and I should have caught that. It can feel very strange, right? Yeah. Also, if we're coming back to ownership of quality and who's responsible for quality, I think it's wonderful when that happens. I think it becomes a bit of a light bulb moment for a lot of people if they haven't got there yet to understand that we're all trying to deliver decent products and services to people that do good things for them. But yeah, I love a good bug hunt or bug bash or that kind of, you get a bunch of people together with a bit of organization. Love it. I think there's, without me searching, just off the top of my head, for, and this is for all listeners, there is an article on how to set one up. I can't remember who created it, but there is one out there. A couple of years ago, I think that went live. So that's worth checking out for those unfamiliar with it. I think there was also a club discussion off the back of it of what have you tried, what have you experimented with. So there might be something in that for listeners today. And also, yeah, I see in the chat, Michael Close, thank you for setting up a post on the club live in real time during this week in testing, which I'm always impressed by. Michael is asking, what are the benefits of being in the Motiverse? I've been asked what the benefits of being an MOT member, so I can try and encourage them to get a team account. So yeah, if folks do find that they get value by having a professional membership, and particularly those who have an unlimited membership, which is just wonderful, on a team account, then just, yeah, please do jump in on that thread and help Michael. I think that also, Ollie, might help you as well when it comes to the performance reviews that you've been talking about. There might be some good stuff in there, even if it's not just related to the ministry testing community, but more in general of like how people can get help and support from a tech community such as Ministry of Testing.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
That's great. And yeah, lots of good chat, and appreciate Linda sharing some links. How to get the most out of your profile. Oh, that's a good one from Rahul. Thank you for sharing that, Linda. And Gary jumping in again. Oh, Gary, yes. We will be waiting for you when you want to join the stage, because I know you had a bit of tech trouble last time round. But Ollie, thank you for sharing, and please do stick around. Natalia, shall we get Milan up on the stage?
Yeah.
Waiting ever so patiently. So thank you, Milan. But yeah, Natalia, if you want to do the honors, please do go for it.
Hi, Dan. Welcome. Hello. Welcome to this week in testing.
Yeah, thank you for getting me on the stage. So this week in testing, I'm continue reaching out to people, applying for vacancies. I'm currently looking for a job. And apart from that, I was working on this Playwright integration with TS last year or so. I built a core framework which comprises of UI automation and then API automation and mobile automation as well. It was a core automation framework. I'm working towards building something similar in Playwright. So integrating the API thing with the UI automation I found in Playwright is comparatively from Selenium, it's very efficient and easy to incorporate it. The only thing that I'm still working upon and would welcome any suggestion how to integrate the native mobile automation as well to build a core automation framework of Playwright, which covers UI automation, obviously it does, and then API automation and the native. So that way you can have a core automation framework which does the end-to-end for everything. Yeah, and that's what I was working on. And apart from that, I just want to add on to the wonderful topic that Eamon and Simon that we were discussing about. So my point on that is, as the company will take value based on the brand value or the face value of an organization, as we are still growing and as MOT is in reach with a different company and the head of different companies. So once we get that sort of recognition across the organization, then it will have a value add saying that, okay, I have done this on MOT. I've been working on this. So that will value add in terms of everything, whether you do the work or given the performance part as well, performance rating. Because in most of the company, we have a criteria. Okay, what else apart from your regular day-to-day work you have worked upon? Like people say, I have done this certification. As we are having Stack now, you can say that, okay, we have done n number of certification from MOT or have added some value over the community. In that way, it can be an added boost to your performance appraisal as well. Though we day-to-day, most of us offline, dig into the community reading or seek some help. But in order to bring it to your day-to-day work in the organization, there are some caveat because of some policies as well, whether you can directly link something from outside within the organization because of security and different policies as well. So I believe that's a gradual transition. And once MOT will have its brand value or the face value that we are looking forward to, then it will add more value across different faces or places. Let's forgive it. Thank you.
An exciting week for you, Milan. Thank you for sharing. It's good to have you back on the stage as well. Wow, lots of good stuff. Just a couple of folks that come to mind around Playwright, if they are not on your radar. And again, this is for everyone listening, would be Christine Pinto. She's done a lot of stuff for Playwright, and Butch Mayhew. Those two folks are doing good things. So maybe there's something on their profiles that might be worth checking out. Or indeed, I think there are a number of talks. I think there's an AMA with Butch. Christine has done a couple of recent talks about Playwright and her experiences with AI as well. So that's worth checking out for sure. Yeah, and great to hear your thoughts about, yeah, MOT, ministry testing's place within organizations and it being recognized. Yeah, there's work to be done, that's for sure. I feel as a community, we can collectively do a lot of that work. I think to call out a comment earlier on from Rosie. So Rosie Sherry is the CEO and founder of Ministry Testing. The biggest benefit with a professional membership is that we invest in you and everyone else so that you then benefit, but also everyone else does too. Yeah, that's it. That's great. That is a great summary. It really is an investment. And I think once companies realize that, this is how I can really make the most of my learning and development budget. This is how I can really say to my team members, if I'm in a leadership position, I want to invest in your growth because it's a benefit for you. It's a benefit for me as your leader. It's a benefit for the companies. It's like a win. And the community grows and then the craft grows as well. So it's the more people getting involved and sharing and supporting each other, it's like a compound interest effect. Yes, I really appreciate you sharing that today, Milan. And of course, a reminder to everyone listening that if you do want to keep conversations going or you have more questions to put out to the community, you're looking for advice, do so in various ways, like on This Week in Testing, on the club, our forum for professional members and people who have test bash tickets and contributors. They can get access to the Ministry of Testing Slack. That's also a good place for some asynchronous conversations. Milan, please do go for it. It looks like you've unmuted, so jump on in.
Yeah, as I just wanted to add one more point for the devs. Like, we have this lead code, which most of the devs add to their profile, how their lead code score is, which gives a boost to their profile. Similarly, gradually, when we will be having more value as a community and ministry of testing, that will give a boost to your profile as well. When you add it to your profile, to the social media or to your CV as well. So just wanted to add that point over there.
Yeah, I like it. For now, maybe it makes me think that, does it become like a currency? I don't know if that's the right term, but I do think about the concept of badges and stars. They are, it's capital, isn't it? That's maybe the word I'm looking for. It's community capital. So the kind of value that you hold and that you can demonstrate with real artifacts, whether it's badges or stars or likes, that kind of thing, it does all add up. And I know I probably don't want to get too caught up in a conversation around metrics and measurements because we can go down to some tricky conversations about how you measure something. But it's definitely demonstrates value because people can dive into the detail off the back of those badges or back of those stars or the likes and get a bit more context. I think that's where it gets exciting. So thank you, Milan. Natalia, feel free to jump in. Please do go for it.
In MOT as well, we've got profiles that you can build up quite things. And I know more exciting stuff are coming out to be able to show different type of certification maybe every goal or any other challenges or things that you can show off. They will be on profile as well. The one thing that I think MOT is different from like lead code or things like that because it's not only about your technical skills. It's a holistic view on everything, right? And potentially, like, people might see all those different profiles from different perspectives. Depends what skills and experience they're looking for, right? So if they need to be just coding and things like that, and like GitHub, that's enough for them. I understand, right? Whereas MOT is everything. And sometimes it's just different way of showing your skills. So yeah, just wanted to point out as well that James Woodley and Emily O'Connor also here for you, Milan, if you have any question. So yeah, technical proposals, quite interesting. But yeah, I'm also aware that Gary is waiting for. I wonder if you want to test the audio on his side and see whether he can join today, as he had some technical issues last Friday. But I'm hopeful he can join and the technology will allow him to join us on stage.
That's step one past Gary. We can see that you've joined the stage. There is no audio at this stage, but we shall see what happens, or we shall listen to what happens. We're rooting for you, Gary, to see if this is possible. Today could be the day. The anticipation is building.
No, it isn't. He says in a chat.
So it's sorry.
Because no. I don't see any kind of feedback on our side. Either it's a red, green dot or like pulsing profile, I think, could be also. Yeah, one day we will tag the crowdcast serving us much better email. Sorry about this, Gary. Would love to talk to you again. Come next Friday. So I hopefully, like a third time around, I feel it's going to be our win.
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like we should try and do some debugging, Gary, and work out what's going on. Maybe I could set up a separate session where we just try some various options and explore why your input isn't taking, why it's not enjoying it. All sorts of thoughts come to mind as to what it might be, but I guess maybe this event isn't the time for us to try and debug that, as much as we'd love to hear from you, Gary. Gary recently had a chat with Rosie Sherry as part of the Leading with Quality Conversations. Do keep a lookout for that. That one is being edited right now and it's coming very soon. I saw a post from Rosie, and I'll just share it in the chat, saying that all roads lead to quality. So let me just post that memory in the chat for those who are following along live. And Rosie said the following: I had a wonderful chat with Gary Hawkes about his journey over the years with testing and our quality engineering. And I absolutely love how it felt like his story was that all roads have led to quality. He was once a developer, but discovered testing and quality and was fascinated by it enough that he doesn't want to leave. I love the excitement for our industry at the moment. And there's a link to the Leader with Quality Conversations series so far. These conversations are wonderful. So there's been conversations with Lisa Crispin, Callum Akers, Ryan, Suzanne Abdulrahman, Kat Obring, and Jenny Bramble. Jenny Bramble's the latest one to go live. They're all worth checking out. There's real knowledge, proper, right in the mixer, frontline leadership stuff. And it's just great to hear it. And I think there was an idea floating around on the Ministry of Testing Slack earlier this week where, if I can get the space to do it, I'd love to find a way to create like a heuristics board for all this knowledge. A whole load of questions have been asked, and then there's going to be loads of answers that are available, and you can just go along at the questions and pick and choose some answers that might help you. So essentially like crowdsourcing all this leadership knowledge and trying to bring it into one space that can then get people to then go off and watch the talks to get a bit more detail and context. But maybe there's something in that. I don't know. See if that's possible. But again, it's prioritizing this stuff with all the gazillion other things happening behind the scenes. I'll try my very best. Natalia, what do you think is next? What should we see? What's been happening in the chat? I see that Emily O'Connor has an idea.
Yeah, Emily? I just remember about Emily. Well, she's might be writing or wanted to join the stage. I watched her amazing full talk, I think it is, about how to create a number of test cases from requirement. I'm trying to find it because I think it's a brilliant, simple way for anyone, whatever level you are, to have us as an example and apply to your day-to-day work or even share to people who are not really sure what this case is all have to work with. It was somewhat on Slack. But yeah, I'll post it. So I wanted to highlight it was really good work. But Emily, thank you for doing that. Yeah. And I think, Simon, we still got 6 minutes, so we can still have someone on stage if anyone would like to. I would be happy. It's a classic episode, so which means the topic, it's totally up to you. It can be your experience, it can be your question, it can be your challenge, it can be just coming up and saying hello and just having a chat before we're off on weekend.
Yeah, I'm chuckling away with the concept of we've rebranded it This Week in Testing Classic, like classic mode versus themed based mode. I don't know, it just makes me chuckle a little bit behind the scenes. But yeah, there's something we can, as you say, Natalia, just keep the chat going. Folks can get up on stage and just mix it up. If people do want to come up on stage, they don't have to reference anything that we talked about so far. Literally start a fresh conversation and then we'll be up for it. And I see Eamon Droko. Oh, I haven't heard from Eamon for a while. Let's get him back on stage. Eamon, welcome back. Part 2.
Yeah, Michael, jump on.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. We're quite close to the 100th episode of This Week in Testing. So are there any big plans for that?
That's a good question. Actually, behind the scenes, we've been chatting about the 99th episode. So the number 99 has a bit more kind of history and a bit more clout within the Ministry of Testing community, given that for a very long time, we have had the concept of a 99-second talk, which, Eamon, you're very familiar with, having done many. But for folks who aren't familiar, this is a way for people to join the stage, whether it's an online event or an in-person event, whether it's a meetup or conference, where they can talk about anything they like for 99 seconds. So the number 99 has got a bit of history there. So we're actually hoping to do something special for the 99th episode. We have an idea floating around that we're trying to get all the This Week in Testing co-hosts to join at once. It'd be pretty full on, but we will share our reflections of the 99 episodes, some of the key takeaways, and maybe some things that we could do in the future and get excited about. And then, yeah, maybe the 100th could also be a fun celebration as well. Why not do it twice? But yeah, this is a bit of an idea going around right now. Eamon.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. And yeah, like Gary said, hopefully his mic will work for the 100th episode.
Amazing.
That would be a real celebration.
Gary, you just have the mic for the whole episode. It'd be like, come on, Gary, you've got like all these episodes to catch up on. If we want to hear from you, that was this topic, that topic, all these topics. I hope you're making notes, Gary, so you can just have a dedicated episode. So we've got This Week in Testing Classic, we'd have This Week in Testing Themed, and then we have This Week in Testing Gary Special Edition. I think we can make that happen. For real. Okay. Thank you for joining us again, Eamon, and asking a few more things about what's going on with This Week in Testing. Yeah, I do wonder, I do think about, the podcast side of This Week in Testing. So for those who aren't familiar, you can subscribe to this as a podcast. So if you use any sort of podcasting platform, it might be Apple Podcasts, it might be Podbean, it might be Spotify, it could be any other podcasting tool, I do recommend subscribing. I always like it where after each episode, we try and deliver the episode as a podcast in the same day. And I see the little notification pop up. So I use Apple Podcasts as an iPhone user and it just pops up on my screen. I'm like, yay, it's there and ready. So you don't have to come back to ministrytesting.com to find the podcast. If you listen to your podcast through your phone, for example, then that's a nice way to get access to many previous episodes. And I'd love to find a way to bring that all together. Maybe we could, I don't know, do something with those transcripts with an LLM. Maybe there's something in that. There's lots of good stuff shared in This Week in Testing. It'd be amazing to spot some of the themes and the recurring topics and recurring pieces of advice, and also find some outliers in that data as well. What are some topics that maybe we're not talking about enough that perhaps we should be? It's hard to know. There are so many topics we could discuss. And that's what I love about This Week in Testing, is that there's real diversity. There's so many different challenges that we're all facing as individuals. And we welcome people to come up on stage and share them and explore them with the community.
I like how you did from last episode, Simon, because many people learn in very different ways. Some people learn from listening. Some people learn better from reading, like if they have to see. And some people learn from doing stuff, like you can join on stage and be part of it. And I think those like areas that you captured in the second part that from writing, you took some advice, there's some sentences it put on the club, right? So a week later, I look at it, I was somewhere in the middle of the week, and it sounded like very new to me. I was like, did I say that? Maybe you edited it a little bit, which I don't mind, but a week after, or even a month or year after, it proceeds differently, like either experience or in a written way. So I think that as well works quite nicely, and people can use it as well. Definitely feed into some AI would be interesting to understand, like insights and gaps, and maybe you think that we talk a lot, heat map, we talk a lot about something, and there is like little thing to talk about something else. So yeah, thanks for doing that. It was
nice to read that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. He makes such a good point about coming back to things. And yeah, I find it really is a powerful exercise to do that, because I think also in that particular context, an example you shared, you and I are hosting where there's multiple things going on at once, where we're keeping an eye on the chat, we're keeping an eye on people who want to join the stage, making sure there's enough space for people to speak, not trying to interrupt each other, thinking about who's coming on next. And it's sometimes in the moment, it's hard to reflect on what's being shared, even though I think the co-hosts do a really good job of listening with intent and taking notes. And it is nice to come back to stuff later and go, oh yeah, we did share that stuff, and that was really cool what that person said. And let's frame it either verbose, how they said it, or slightly reflect on what they shared, not from word to word as well. I think that's I think community members who do that are demonstrating a real commitment to their learning. I spent this week finding blog posts of people who are writing up their experiences of Test Bash. It was amazing. It was wonderful to find all these posts. And it's like you could see in the writing that people were doing it sometimes primarily for themselves, to articulate their thoughts and reflections of being at a place and then going away, coming back, thinking about it, looking at their notes, reflecting on what they learned, and then thinking, oh, how can I now apply that for real? And I think there's something in that. It's a real skill, I think, as well, for people to do that and work on. And it takes time and effort. God, it's so easy to just jump onto the next thing, right? Very much go, what's next? And I think the good stuff happens when we take a step back and reflect on something that happened, even things that happened maybe a year or so ago or 2 years ago, or even, for example, back in 2016, I watched this week a talk, and it was just still so relevant. It was about quality as care, and I posted a memory on that. It was Nicola Sedgwick's talk, and it was great watching it back. It was like, oh yeah, this is still relevant. This still makes sense. It's still useful advice. It still can make a difference. And that's 9 years ago, which feels like an eternity in the community, and things definitely must have changed, but it hadn't. And I think that's cool when we can go back to stuff in history and reframe it, or at least revisit it in our current context.
Yeah, absolutely. Emily is saying, doesn't take 3 times for you to learn something. Go to a talk, take some notes and write them up. And I think definitely it takes some time to learn things. I noticed with my spell and different ways or different context moment, either in the right place, like physically, mentally, words and kind of narrative matters a lot. And yeah, I think it makes total sense. And the more we help people learn from different types, so resources, different times, we all get better. So yeah, that's definitely a cycle. Then at some point in some cycle, everyone gets better, either it's the first or second or third, the cycle of NLT. Right.
Defo. Okay, Matt, we should probably wrap things up here. There's a bit of a panic going on in the chat for those who are following on live that we are over the hour. hopefully my machine won't explode. Maybe, but we're testing it out to see what happens. I think Crowdcast is just about handling it. Sadly, it couldn't handle Gary Hawkes' microphone, but we all bloom will get that working because I really want to hear from Gary up on this stage. But yes, thanks so much. Thank you, Michael, for sharing in the chat. Thanks everyone who's contributed. It's been another great call. Yeah, lots of good knowledge shared, loads of good people up on stage. Lovely to see all the activity in the chat for those joining us live. Please do keep the conversations going, right? Keep sharing the knowledge, keep amplifying people. And for professional members, go give someone a community star. It's very straightforward. You jump on their profile, look for the star, press the plus button, pick a reason, type a little message to share your just to that person and in public, and then just hit go. It's very straightforward and it feels lovely to give someone a community star. Maybe you will make someone's day by doing that today. Thank you for listening. And Natalia, any final words before we sign off?
As always, I'm very grateful for this hour. Thank you so much, everyone, just for spending it with us. And let's chat next Friday. See you here at the same time, same place. And have a wonderful weekend.
Bye for now.
Bye.